VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in a time where the winds of fear are daily blowing on the population. I mean, nightly newscasts all over the country are telling us of the increase in the number of coronavirus cases. We often don't hear how many tested negative or how many survived the virus, but the growing totals of people who are testing positive, and we're confronted with the daily death toll from coronavirus. We're told of potential vaccines, and even before development, we've been having those push for mandatory vaccination, and that is creating fear among many as well. Not only that, but on another scale of events, we see the news of the mobs, the riots, the fires, the destruction of property, and frankly, we have people all over this nation living in fear, some afraid to go outside their own home. Our topic today is that of faith versus fear. What does the future hold? Join us today as we welcome back Dr. Gary Fraser. He's a respected speaker, writer on the subject of Bible prophecy. He is the founder and president of Discovery Missions. He's the author of several books. You've heard him interview on Miracle of Israel, Hell is for Real, and It Could Happen Tomorrow. Dr. Fraser, good to have you with us.
Hey, Jim, it's always a blessing, man. Thank you for having me.
Let's begin addressing this matter of fear. I mean, because it's coming to us on so many different levels. It is actually running rampant in our country right now. Give us your thoughts.
Well, first of all, Jim, let me just say that I am amazed as I interact with people on a daily basis. I just had a conversation with a person yesterday who virtually, they have been practically nowhere since March. Now we're in Florida as we speak today. So this was someone down here, and I'm just amazed that the amount of terror, fear that I see and hear in people's voices as I watch what's happening. And of course, you laid out in your introduction just a moment ago some of the major causes. But the thing that I'm reminded of constantly is, you know, recently as I was observing this situation, I was reminded in Ephesians 5:18, we're told, do not be drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. And then at the same time, Paul would write also to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, and he said, we've not been given a spirit of fear. Mm-hmm. Now, let me, for our listeners' sake, let me draw their attention to something. Fear is not, and I want you to, them to be sure and hear what I'm saying. Fear is not just an emotion. You know, we think of fear as being just one of many emotions. No, no, no. Fear is an evil spirit. You see, we only have two choices in our lives, and we have to choose which way we're going to go. Either we're going to be filled with the Spirit of God, Christ living in us, or we're going to be filled with the fear spirit, the spirit of fear that is derived from the enemy. Now, one of those, the first one that I mentioned, the Spirit of God filling us, is so that we might function in the realm of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, self-control, the fruit of the Spirit that reflects the reality of a relationship with the living Lord Jesus. The other does just the opposite of that. It robs us of our love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, yes, goodness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control, and exposes us really to this apprehension, this depression. We're seeing today incredible increases in cases of acute depression. We're seeing increases in suicide. And I've got to tell you, this is running the gamut with regard to ages. This is not just limited to senior adults and down. These are young people who are feeling this stress and this depression, and all of that is fear related, because it is an evil spirit that is influencing people's lives. And so we really have to make a decision about how we're going to deal with this demonic influence, understanding that we are engaged in a spiritual war. We can't see the forces of evil in the heavens around us, but they are there. And we are very much involved in a spiritual battle. Now, ultimately, yes, the war has been won, but this battle is being lost on a number of fronts in our culture today that is greatly disturbing to many of us, especially those of us who know what the Word of God has to say, and we know what to anticipate and more or less what to expect as we go down this road.
Do you believe that this matter of fear, that this being placed on the populace, is this intentional?
Absolutely. There's no question. And the reason I would say that is one of the things that we know is, and we'll get into this in more detail in a moment, but just by way of introduction, let me just say that we know that we have a group of people, of totalitarians, who are their future globalists. They want they want control, and the way you control a culture and society is you do it through fear. I mean, that's how you get people to submit. One of the things that I've been so surprised about, we were in Florida at our winter home down here. I normally am preaching around the western coast of Florida during January through March or April every year, and was able to do a couple of conferences before this thing hit in late February and early March, and I was amazed at how people just almost instantaneously fell in line and began to march to this, to the drumbeat of fear and obedience.
Yes.
You know, you have to wear a mask. You cannot go out. You're to lock down, stay put, et cetera, et cetera. And now we'll talk about this more in a minute. But one of the things that's so amazing to me is that this thing has virtually spread around the world. But one of the things that people have to understand is that the whole goal behind this is to erode individual freedoms and rights. Ultimately, they want to eliminate the sovereignty of, on a national level, that is America. And the second thing is that they need to undermine the sovereignty of the individual first before they can get to that. So there is a program, there is a plan that is in place, and we're witnessing it. But I'm so shocked that people are allowing their freedoms they're just giving up their freedoms. Instead of saying, whoa, wait just a minute, I'm a thinking individual. I have a mind. I am not going to mindlessly agree to these things. I'll do research. I'll check these things out. Mm-hmm. I'll make a decision as for me and mine to do what is best.
Dr. Frazier, I'd like to even put this coronavirus into perspective. And just within the last half hour, this was at 1:40 Central Time this afternoon, 30 minutes ago, I went to the website worldometers.info that measures, many different statistics around the world, but one of those is deaths. And as of that time this afternoon, 30 minutes ago, deaths attributed to coronavirus worldwide, and again, several of these are called into question because we got people dying in motorcycle accidents that have been put into this death toll, but coronavirus, 832,748 worldwide. Now let's look at some other numbers here. Communicable diseases, deaths this year, 8,518,152. That's 10 times the number of coronavirus. Abortions this year, 27,917,033. Seasonal flu deaths this year, 320,392. We look at deaths caused by HIV/AIDS this year, just over 1.1 million. That's more than coronavirus. Deaths caused by cancer this year, over 5.3 million. Deaths caused by malaria this year, 643,000. Listen to this one. Deaths caused by smoking, 3,280,192. That's four times the number of coronavirus. Deaths caused by alcohol this year, 1,641,131. That's twice as many people have died of alcohol this year than the coronavirus. And yet, we find liquor stores are allowed to be open and bars and everything open while we close churches. Road traffic accidents almost are just slightly higher this year worldwide, 885,755. More people are dying in traffic accidents than coronavirus. Why are we not banishing cars, from taking place? So putting this into perspective, and we look at these other world numbers here, should shed some light on what's taking place.
Well, here is the thing that I think the majority of your listeners today are going to agree with, and that is that there seems to be a total loss of objectivity and common sense when we look at this. We're being so swamped with this message of fear that's coming across all of the mainstream media, et cetera, and as you said, we're being inundated with this daily, just constantly on and on and on. And here's the bad part. People being, quote-unquote, shut in, locked down in their homes and all that, they turn to the television, and all they get from that is either the mindless sitcoms or they get this the news that just constantly strikes fear deep into their hearts.
Yes.
You know what's amazing to me is that, yes, and you said it a moment ago, we're hearing this mantra that the idea here is we have to keep everyone safe. Now, first of all, on the surface, that might sound like a good slogan, but that happens to be an impossibility. There is no way in the world to, quote-unquote, keep everyone safe. That is not possible. People, why? Well, because people die. Hebrews 9:27 tells us in the Word of God, it is appointed a man wants to die. The Bible tells us our lives are a span roughly of 70-plus years or whatever the case may be. But the bottom line here is, you're just not. We all have a date with destiny. I mean, there is an appointed time to die, and the only people that are going to miss that are those who are called up to meet Christ when He calls His bride home. So, death should not surprise us. We understand also, and here's the other thing that is really mind blowing to me, is that we have failed to take these statistics and properly understand, interpret, and apply them. And understand that the majority of people dying from COVID, more than half of them, at least in the 60 percentile range, are people who probably would have died from a bad flu season anyway. These are people who have, you know, compromised immune systems. They have, you know, coronary artery disease. They have diabetes. All kinds of things. And these are the people who are highly susceptible to any type a viral infection. And so we're going to have this certain number, but there's no differentiation between this. Let me share a post with you that I made just the other day. I was just casually doing some reading, went back, and in 2019 in the state of Florida, where we are right now, there were 10 children who died from the flu. Now, when I say children, these are elementary school kids, 10 that died from the flu. All schools were open, all sporting activities, life is the norm, went on, okay? In 2020, there have been 5 children of elementary school age who have died from COVID-19. All the schools are shut down. There are no sporting events, et cetera, et cetera. And so what I posted was, I said, you know, I'm sure somewhere in some faraway galaxy on some distant planet, there's an alien somewhere to whom this makes sense. But for those of us who are here on planet Earth with an IQ above plant life, we're wondering what in the world are we doing, destroying the economy, putting undue pressure on people who are losing their businesses, depriving our children of social interaction and the ability to learn that are going to have some long-term consequences on these children and so forth. What are we doing? And you know, you have to look beyond what is right in front of your face and ask the question, you know, is there a plan here? And if there is a plan, then, you know, what is the purpose? I'll tell you something shocking that I just read a couple of days ago. You know, in Australia and in New Zealand, they have taken this coronavirus fear to really a new level. People think about Australia, New Zealand, well, they have their democracies, kind of like America, so to speak, and so forth. But listen to this. They virtually shut the countries down. There have been 525 deaths in all of Australia and 22 deaths in New Zealand, and these people are in a state of total lockdown. It is shocking.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in 1 minute. Dr. Gary Fraser with us today. Faith versus fear. What does the future hold? And we'll be getting more into the future here after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, are whales related to any land animals?
Chris, evolutionists think they are. In fact, this is one of their strongest arguments these days, that whales evolved from land animals with legs. Some say that the ancestor looked like a cow or maybe a wolf or a hippopotamus. Well, I think they're all wrong. Recently, the head portion of a whale fossil was found in California. It didn't have the rear portion at all, but this didn't keep evolutionists from claiming that they had small rear legs. Chris, why do we believe them? Why do even evolutionists believe them when they make up stories like this? The Bible says that God created whales on day 5 of creation week. They've always been whales, and they still are whales. Even whales go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
Faith versus Fear, what does the future hold? With us today, Dr. Gary Fraser. He is the founder and president of Discovery Missions and has been with us several times here on Crosstalk on various topics, but certainly this is one that's hitting our nation right now, the fear, the buildup that's happening, folks. It's not by accident this is taking place. Fear equals control. If we can keep people afraid, we can control them, and we're seeing that happen on so many different levels. I mean, look what's going on, even with this vaccinations. Dr. Fraser just mentioned Australia, the Australian Prime Minister calling for mandatory vaccinations, as mandatory as you can possibly make it. We have certain state health departments that are saying that same thing here across the United States as well. Friends, we have to recognize, as Dr. Fraser pointed out, it is not God that's given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. We are in a spiritual battle, and how we deal with this is absolutely critical. Fear can render us neutral in our lives and can cause us to do nothing but spin wheels. And certainly we need to be occupying until Christ comes again. Dr. Fraser, we're going to take a look at, break this down into two segments. One is how should believers in Christ deal with fear and what the future holds for believers. We want to cover that here as succinctly as we can, but then also to address the fear that's in the heart of non-believers. But let's deal with believers first. How should believers in Christ deal with this fear, this constant barrage? Sometimes it's this fear of the unknown, but let's look then what is known. What does the future hold for the believer? So combine those two aspects, if you would.
Jim, first of all, let me remind our listeners today that while it may seem to them and to many that the world is simply kind of spinning out of control, trust me, it is not. Let me remind us that God is firmly on his throne.
Amen.
He has an eternal plan for the ages. And for the believers today, there are two things that I would say immediately. The first is a very practical thing, is that don't be afraid to turn the idiot box off. Turn off the television. Turn off the media. Walk away from all of that negative news and all those kinds of things. And the second thing, so that you can give your mind and your heart an opportunity to refocus on what's important. And the second thing I'd say is, remember the Word of God says, do not be anxious for anything, but through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, I want to emphasize, and the peace of God shall guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, there have been times now over these last months when my wife and I have kind of looked at each other and said, you know what, we're turning this mess off. We're not listening to this anymore. I think we need to limit the amount of intake of all this fear-mongering that we're hearing from every single aspect. You know, I have many, many Facebook friends, several thousand across the country, and daily I get all of these different Facebook messenger things about this video and that video and what this person said and what that person said, and I've heard all these conspiracy theories, some of this stuff is so crazy, it's so far out, it's virtually unbelievable. And I'm not a conspiracy guy, but I do understand that there are forces at work, there is a spiritual war taking place, but for believers, we need to be reminded that Jesus in Matthew 11 said, come unto me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
So we need to get our focus in the right place, number one. Not that we're just totally ignorant, but we need to maintain this trust and confidence that God is in control. You know, when it doesn't look like it makes any sense, just know that that God is still on the throne. We just have to talk to ourselves in a positive way and remind ourselves that while we may not know exactly what tomorrow holds, we know who exactly holds tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Indeed,
you know?
Yeah. And that gives us that peace that is so absent from what's happening in this world today.
Now, I know when I say this, people say, well, that's just kind of preacher talk. I'm talking about a very practical way of just turning these things over to God. You know, my wife has this cute little thing that is right by our coffee pot, in the mornings. And so when I go in there to the Keurig unit there, and I turn that thing on, right there above me is a little sign that says, "This is God, and I've got this today."
And
just a reminder that He's got it. There's not any surprises in heaven. Heaven is not in a state of chaos and confusion. And so we just need to focus on that. And remember that the thing that causes us not to do that is fear of the unknown. So while there are things that are unknown to us, but that's why we have trust and confidence and faith in Him. We walk by faith, not by sight, and certainly not by fear.
And what does the future hold for the believer?
Well, first of all, the good news is this. Jesus is coming. You know, the things that we're seeing, and hopefully we'll get into this in a moment, but the things that we're seeing are just, you know certain things are happening. God has laid out for us a prophetic blueprint for the future. It is our roadmap in the larger sense of what is happening. Now we don't know every little minute detail. Mm-hmm. There are going to be some you know, valleys and mountaintops and things that will occur, but we've got the big picture. And that's what I would love to remind people about today, is that I constantly keep focusing on the big picture. And let me give you an illustration. You know, back a number of years ago, back in the 60s, you know, the book of Revelation, when people dig down into the weeds of Revelation, they find themselves trying to, you know, understand every little detail. And here it talks about this thing that has smoke coming out of the back. You look at the it looks like something, a person with long hair, you know, et cetera, and so forth. And in the 60s, people said, well, these are hippies on motorcycles. Well, they're looking through a very narrow frame and trying to take Scripture and then figure out. And my point to them is, don't try to do that. Why? Because the world is changing on a day-by-day basis, and the things that we know today, many of those things were unknown in the 60s, so we don't need to tag things and try to understand every little minute thing. Get the big picture, and here's the big picture. Jesus has promised. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled."
Yes.
You believe in me. He goes on to say that, you know, that He is going to go to the Father's house to prepare a place for us, mm-hmm. and then He says, "And I'll come back and take you to be where I am." This is the great promise of Jesus. And so He tells us right up the front, don't let your heart be troubled.
Yeah.
You know, and so why? Well, because He's busy preparing a suitable dwelling place for us, and when the time is right, He's going to call us home. He's going to meet us in the sky to take us to be with Him in the Father's house. I take great comfort in knowing that. Now, granted, I realize, look, I'm 70 years old, and I know that young people today say, well, that's okay for you old people. But listen, it's not an old person thing. It's biblical truth. And what I'm saying is going to happen. Now, you know, I carry my Bible, as some of you have heard me before, you know this. I carry a little thing in my Bible that says, maybe today.
Yes.
Because what Jesus promised, we don't have a date. We can't know an hour. But we recognize that incrementally things are moving along that are going to facilitate the very things the Scripture teaches. For example, we know the world is rapidly moving toward a coming one-world government. Well, as we kind of just referred to a moment ago, look, fear moves people in that direction. Fear causes people to be willing to give up freedoms to get security. And ultimately, we know that not only is Christ going to come for His bride, the church, and take us home, but we also know that is going to catapult the world into future events that will take place. For example, the America we know has to go away. Can I tell you that all across this country today, lawsuits are being filed because people's personal freedoms have been trounced upon, their First Amendment rights. And we all know that John MacArthur in California just had a favorable ruling a couple of days ago from the court mm-hmm. that allows his churches to stay open. But isn't it interesting that we have a virus, we have a bug, we have a flu. And by the way, we have a vaccine for flu. How's that working out? We still have between 12,000 and 70,000 people die from flu every year. But here's the bottom line. There's an attack on religious freedom. There's an attack on personal freedoms, people being told they can't open a business, etc. You know, all of these things are indicators that freedoms are being stripped from us. And can I tell you that America is the last great bastion of freedom on the face of the earth? And as America goes, so goes the world. And we are seeing America in the death throes of people who have a very different worldview than what we have experienced in these 200 plus years as Americans.
Yeah, and I find it, and we've heard testimony even this week of people said, you know, they've talked about this being that last bastion of freedom, and if America goes, we have no place else to go to.
Correct.
And so we know that, as you said, Jesus is coming. I'd like to also take a look, and you mentioned about the things coming to pass, and I know we could go another program or two just on the coming one world government, and we see what's happening with monetary supply and all these sorts of things, the push toward religions coming together and so forth, but I'd also want to make sure that we have time here to address the fear that's no doubt in the hearts of many non-believers. As we look to the future, to the time of the Lord's return that you refer to, there should actually be a great fear in the heart of anyone who does not know Christ the Savior. What's ahead for the non-believer in Christ?
Well, let me just say this, that unfortunately today, the world has been so desensitized. The world has looked at, and I hate to say this, but the world has looked at so much in Christianity and Christians, and they have such a dim view, such low regard and very little respect anymore for people who name the name of Jesus. But let me just say this. God never expected perfection from his kids. When he died on the cross, he knew what he was getting in us, and he knew that we were not going to be perfect. But the world demands a level of perfection from Christ followers that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit never expected from us. So the bottom line is this. Because they've looked at us and they have such a low opinion, they pretty much just have bought into the idea that evolution is the process, we are here by chance, and so they don't. What they do is they block from their mind the idea of death. Do you know so few people even think about it until it's almost upon them? And, you know, the great tragedy for most unbelievers is they have been sold such a lie by Satan that they have this idea somehow, some way, they still think they're going to miss out on this. And yet they're not going to. You know, one of the things I did not long ago was I did a celebration service for one of my mentors, a man who I served with. He was 63 days short of his 100th birthday. And he passed away in March. We couldn't have his celebration service till later. And in that message, I basically said to the people who had gathered there that day, I said, "I'm going to preach your funeral service." Okay. Now, why would I do that? Because most people don't think about death. They don't prepare for death. It's the only time they ever think about it at all is if they happen to attend a funeral service of some kind. So today, I'm going to say this. This is your day. You're in the box, okay? Because all of us, that is, those who are not caught up in the rapture, are going to have a day in the box. So this is your day in the box. And I just shared with them the truths that I've gleaned over these many years in ministry of how believers die differently than unbelievers. And I talked about what happens to a believer when they die versus in contrast with what happens to an unbeliever when that person dies. And so a lot of that is in my book that you talked about in their intro today, which is called Hell is for Real, because it is real. And so for unbelievers today, they are overwhelmed with anxiety. I don't know that they actually put it in a spiritual realm, and yet that's exactly what it is. Satan wants them to be fearful and to be afraid, but he has no intention of them turning to God. And yet for us as believers, our message ought to be, There's hope for you. You still have time right now today.
Today is a day of acceptance. It's the accepted time. Back in 1 minute, Dr. Gary Fraser is our guest. Faith versus fear. What does the future hold? Back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
The New England Primer was introduced in Boston in 1690 by Benjamin Harris. It was the first textbook printed in America. For a century after its introduction, it was the beginning textbook for students, and until well into the 20th century, it continued to be a principal text in all types of American schools. The founders, as well as millions of other Americans, learned to read from the New England Primer and the Bible. The core of the Primer is its rhyming alphabet, such as for letter A, in Adam's fall, we send all. The letter G, As runs the glass, man's life doth pass. It also included lessons for youth, Bible questions, and a shorter catechism. A pocket-size hardcover edition of this 1777 historical reprint is available for a donation of $9 or more by calling VCY at 1-800-729-9829. Ask for the New England Primer.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Gary Frazier is our guest today. Faith versus fear, what does the future hold? He's been with us previous. Hell is for real. Just a reminder, that book is available on through Crosstalk, our way of saying thank you for your support of $15 or more. Hell is for real. He has also put out, and we've interviewed extensively in the book, he's going to quickly summarize, though, for us as well, It Could Happen Tomorrow, Future Events That Will Shake the World. There are certain things that are going to come to pass. And he lays that out for us in his book, It Could Happen Tomorrow. And this book also we're making available, our way of saying thank you for your support of $15 or more. Either of these books, you can contact our switchboard here at 800-729-9829. He has both Hell is for Real and It Could Happen Tomorrow. Call 800-729-9829. You'll also find them at vcyamerica.org. You can click on the Crosstalk store. You'll find them there as well. It Could Happen Tomorrow. And also, Hell is for Real. Dr. Frazier, you quoted earlier from Hebrews, it's appointed unto man once to die, and but after this, the judgment. And we were talking briefly about what the future holds for the believer, and we do know that there's going to be a time of reward for the believer. But I'd like to have you focus as well as we address this matter of fear that's in the heart of non-believers today, because there is a judgment that awaits them as well.
There is, and the saddest, I guess the saddest passage of all in the entire Word of God would be Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15.
Yes.
Believers know that as an event called the Great White Throne Judgment of God. But let me be clear. I mentioned a moment ago about doing a funeral service, and I talked about the people, they're turning the box. But let me just tell you that, so I want our listeners to hear me. When you step through death's door as an unbeliever, you won't even be in attendance at your own funeral service, because the Bible says that the moment we die, we step into eternity. And we're either going to be in the presence of the Lord, or we're going to be separated from Him in a place called hell. Now, make no mistake about it. Hell was never created by God for people. He never wanted anyone to go to hell. But hell is a choice, because if there is a salvation, there's also a judgment for rejecting the gift of God offered freely to all who will simply by faith put their confidence and trust in what Christ did upon the cross. And so by rejecting that, then they themselves choose. God never sends someone to hell. They go to hell. And one day, because you see in the world, you really only have two choices. One, we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. I can't do anything to merit or to earn standing before God. I can't keep His laws. I've broken them. Every person has. And so, therefore, either I receive salvation by grace through faith, or I'm relying or depending upon works. And everybody works. Everybody in the world falls into one of those two camps. The majority of people, sadly, think that somehow that they can measure up and be good enough. And yet the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. And so the truth is that we're all in the same boat. The only difference is that some of us have chosen to reach out and put our hand in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ and allow Him to forgive us and allow us to be born again into His forever family, while multiplied millions have said no. The result of that decision will be that one day they will ultimately go to hell, which is a place of torment. It is a place of separation. It is a place of sorrow. But also, they're going to stand one day finally before God, and the Bible says the books of life will be opened, and whoever's name is not found written in the book of life will hear those words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And there is no possible way today, Jim, for me to explain the length of eternity. Eternity is forever and forever and forever. See, here's what most people don't understand. You're never going to die. Now, this shell called the body, yeah, it goes back to the dust from whence it came, whether believer or unbeliever. But the bottom line is that we are a spirit being. We are created in the image of God. We are made with a body, with a soul, a spirit. We're going to, in our spirit, live forever, for all of eternity, in one of two places. And so the sad part is to hear those words, "I never knew you." And that's what an unbeliever, you know, it's never about being a Baptist or a Methodist or a Catholic or a Presbyterian or a Lutheran or whatever the case may be. It's about either accepting what Christ did on the cross that brings a change in our lives, or it's all about a person trying to be as good as they can, but they will never, ever be able to be good enough.
Dr. Gary Frazier is with us, and our clock is moving so fast. Friends, I'd like to open our phone lines. It's 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Maybe you've got a question on this topic, and maybe you've been living in this spirit of fear and been looking for some help in that regard, or maybe you're one who said, you know, I've not trusted Christ as Savior, but I need to do something about that. We certainly welcome your call here as well. If you have a comment on our topic today, pick up your phone, give us our number, 800-733-9829, a brief comment or a question for our guest today, 800-733-9829. It could happen tomorrow, and Dr. Frazier, I know we could take the next couple of hours going through this, but in a very succinct fashion, you outline what we do know regarding the future, that there are going to be these events that will indeed shake the world.
It will. And Jim, just let me quickly say, first of all, there is going to be a coming of Christ to take his bride home. Many of us call it the rapture of the church. I prefer to call it the coming of Christ for the saints. But that's going to catapult, that's going to be a game-changing moment that unlike the world's ever seen before, that will result ultimately in the death of America. Why do I know that? Because there is coming a new world order, and you cannot have a superpower in the world that is part of this one world government, new world order situation. Along with that comes an Islamic invasion of Israel found in Ezekiel 38 and 39, which will have incredible consequences. The result of that will be there will be a man of sin known as the Antichrist who comes upon the scene. People will follow, that is, those who are left behind that are not part of the bride of Christ who are taken away, they will follow him hook, line, and sinker. The Bible warns us. In Matthew 24, four times Jesus said, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Deception will be rampant." Mm. It already is, but not anywhere compared to what it will be. But this guy is going to come on the scene. His program is going to be world peace. He's going to make a peace treaty with the Jews. I've been asked by a number of people about this agreement that just took place here a few days ago concerning the United Arab Emirates and their willingness to make peace with Israel. And say, well, is that the one that the Bible speaks of? No, it's not. Daniel 9, verse 24 through 27 gives the details of that, and they can look at my post on Facebook or Twitter, or even on my It Could Happen Tomorrow page to see an article about that. But part of the world peace that's going to come will be only temporary. The temple in Jerusalem will get rebuilt. Ultimately, there will be a quote-unquote mark of the beast. We talked about the mask of the beast the other day a little bit, but the mark of the beast ultimately will lead the world into what is finally the physical, visible second coming of Jesus when he returns to earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So there is a big picture plan laid out in Scripture, and I just would encourage all of our listeners to do what I do, and that is I keep my focus on the big picture. I don't want to get down in the weeds of trying to speculate about things that I don't fully comprehend and understand, because we are looking, as Paul said, we look now as through a dark glass.
Yeah.
But one day we will know, and we'll not only know, but we'll be known. So,
let's get to the phone lines. They're packed. Let's begin with Bob. Hi, Bob. You're on the air.
Hey, love listening to your program. You have so much information, but I would like to know the numbers you put out about, you know, how many died in traffic deaths and all that.
Yeah.
Is there some way I can find that?
Yes.
That just is amazing to me.
Yeah, you can go to the website. It's worldometers.info.
Okay.
And it's right on that main page. You'll scroll down and you'll see it's under their section of health, but they have all these death certificates worldwide for this year.
Okay. Thank you so much, and thank you for Crosstalk.
Thank you, Bob. Glenn in Duluth, you're on the air.
Hi. Great show. I've been studying prophecy for years, and a year ago, if you would have told me what's going on now, I probably would have looked at people like they were crazy. But after listening to your show and your guest here today, I've been trying to tell some friends and talk to friends about what I'm hearing from you guys and from the Bible, but I'm actually losing friends, people that just don't want to hear any of it. Is there any kind of thing you can give me for indication or a book I can read?
Dr. Frazier.
Well, when you say a book you can read, are you talking about something that would help you with them?
Well, something that can help with them and something that maybe has been written to help people that are Christians to deal in a safe way to deal with people that are on edge.
What you're saying, you're being rejected because of the message you're giving.
Right.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Here's the thing I would just, you know, remind you of, and that is that we have to come to terms with the fact that many, many people will not receive the truth. Now, here's another thing that I'd remind you of, and that is this. People don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I talk to people frequently who I get similar reactions from, but I remind them by simply saying, listen, please understand this. I don't have an axe to grind. I care about you.
Mm-hmm.
I just simply, I'm concerned about you. I have compassion for you because you were created in the image of God. Christ died for you. He loves you. He has an incredible plan for you. But so please understand, I'm not trying to, you know, get you to go to my church. I'm not trying to get you to be a Baptist or anything else. I just care about you. And I think when people begin to care, at least they can understand. But I will tell you this, don't kid yourself. There is great deception taking place today, and there is an all-out battle for the souls of men and women, boys and girls right now during this time of spiritual warfare. And so what I do is, if I were you, I'd just make me a list of people, and, man, I'd get with God, clothe myself in the armor of God of Ephesians 6, and I'd start laying their name them before the throne of God because the real place of battle is the prayer.
Yeah.
Is in prayer.
It is
And I have very, very close family members also that are kind of rejecting me anybody else that's doing that.
And as Jesus said, they're not rejecting you, they've rejected me. And it's so important, Glenn, that you continue to sow the seed of God's word. It's the word of God that convicts, and as Dr. Frazier has mentioned, get in that prayer closet and pray fervently for them individually by name. Thank you for the call. Dick is calling from Mountain. You're on the air.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you very much for taking my call. You know, Dr. Frazier, your comments are right on the money. As a pastor of a church in north central Wisconsin, that whole concept that you made about the coronavirus and the fear and the apprehension and people staying in their houses since March, unfortunately, I pastor a good church and I like the folks, but unfortunately many of them are very old, and they're conscious of the fear of knowing and hearing the comments that once you get it, if you're old, you're not going to survive, has caused those folks to turn inward. And no matter how much I can correspond with them by mail and by telephone to try and convince them that, you know, get outside, get out and socialize with people, mix it up in the marketplace a little bit because you're going to feel better, and otherwise this depression and this discouragement that you're finding is going to kill you anyway.
Yeah, and let me just remind, you know, and I know you've done this already as a pastor, and thank you for God's calling upon your life, but, you know, the truth of the matter is people need to realize either I'm going to trust him or I'm not. There is a day appointed, you know, leaving your home and going outside to some place to be with some other person is not the same as stepping off the curb in front of a bus.
Right.
I mean, we're not asking them to do something crazy. We're simply giving them encouragement and saying, go back to living life. You're not living life. One of the things I've tweeted often is that we need to go back to the lives that we lived before the virus came. That is, let's open everything in this country, and let we the people make the decision whether or not we want to go into that store or into that restaurant or whatever the case may be. God bless you as you seek to reach out and minister to those people.
Thank you, Pastor Dick. We're up against a break and appreciate your call. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and we'll give you up that phone number again if you'd like to obtain those books to be a help to you, even as you consider what God would have you do. Thanks for listening. We'll be back in 1 minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. We now have on video Patricia Kaluers, one of the three founders of the Black Lives Matter movement, declaring, quote, "We are Marxist trained," end quote, as if there was any doubt. Yet sadly, new surveys reveal 63% of Americans respect the Black Lives Matter movement. Did you know that Eric Mann, formerly with the Weather Underground, spent a decade mentoring Patricia Kluwers. Well, what did he stand for? All we have to do is look to the 1974 political manifesto of the Weather Underground to find out. Quote, "Our final goal is the destruction of imperialism, the seizures of power, and the creation of socialism," end quote. By imperialism, he means the free market system. They go on to talk about using racism, black liberation movement, to seize control of America. Nothing is new under the sun.
We've talked about, in brief, a couple of Dr. Frazier's books, which we have offered previous on Crosstalk. Hell is for Real, a tremendous book, and Why It Matters. Hell is for Real, Why It Matters. I have a copy of that available for donation of $15. His book also, It Could Happen Tomorrow, where she deals with the future events that will shake the world. That also is available. Our way of saying thank you for your support of $15. You can contact our switchboard, 800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829, or at vcyamerica.org. Stephen is calling from Woonsocket, South Dakota. Stephen, you're on the air.
Pastor Frazier, I just want to congratulate you on your humility and how the Holy Spirit continues to touch you in your speech. Please encourage people to turn off the electronics and read the New Testament for peace and serenity.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you,
Thank
Stephen.
You for that. Thank you, brother. God bless.
Carol from Fremont, Ohio, you're on the air.
Hi. I have a dear friend who, when the coronavirus really started, she locked herself in her home, and she wouldn't go or do anything. Her children did everything for her. Mm-hmm. She ended up with a sickness and depression.
Yeah,
I am just a few years younger than her, 83, and I have been going out doing what I need to do, not being careless or anything, wearing my mask, and I'm still functioning and working. So I just wanted to tell people that don't let that fear get to you, because it didn't do her a bit of good.
Thank you, Carol. And Dr. Frazier, we have seen, I mean, statistics show the number of people suffering now from depression and loneliness, and, you know, coupled with this fear, has driven many people to suicide, and how tragic this all is.
Yeah, we've seen a huge spike in suicides. And I got to tell you, here's something that's on my heart. Now, by the way, for the call, thank you. Sandra and I, when we go out, we wear our mask when we get out of the car, as we go up to a place to go in for dinner or wherever we're going, we put our mask on just before we go in the door, because it's, you know, they ask you to wear it. We do that. We care about people. We don't want to, and we've not had any problem, of course. But the minute we walk out the door, we take it out. I take it off. I'm surprised. I see people driving their own cars by themselves, in the car by themselves, wearing a mask. I see people out jogging with a mask on. I'm thinking, you have lost your mind. We talk to people who are required to wear masks, like waiters in restaurants and so forth, for hours at a time. They go home virtually sick in the evenings, because you're breathing back into your own body that same poisonous carbon dioxide your body is trying to get rid of. But it is a situation here where some people, again, it's the domination of fear. And it's just, you know, again, I just want to say, I can't say it enough, we are people of faith. We have placed our faith and trust and confidence in Him. There is an appointment for each one of us. I'm not going to worry about that time. I'm going to just put my trust and confidence in Him and continue to live my life on a day-by-day basis.
Let's go to Jean in Glasgow, Kentucky. You're on the air, Jean.
Yes. I had a question about the topic he was talking about, is hell for real?
Mm-hmm.
Scripture one is opinion on, it says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. The day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. And it says, ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I do this."
And where are you reading from, Gene?
I'm sorry, Malachi 4.
Okay.
So are you asking, is there a time when people are just totally burned up, as some people teach? Is that what you're getting at? Is that hell is not eternal, that it's just a temporary situation?
Yeah, I guess, so are people annihilated?
Huh?
Are people just annihilated?
Yeah, is that it's annihilationism, and that's what a lot of people buy into. But here, but let me remind you that the scripture over and over again, especially in the book of Revelation, talks about the eternal lake of fire.
Mm-hmm.
At no point does it ever say it is a temporary situation. And so I could, and we don't have time to go into this right now, but I will tell you, I totally categorically, based on umpteen years of study of the Word of God, reject the idea of annihilationism. We are going to live forever in one of two places. And when the Bible says eternity, it means eternity. And it uses the word everlasting time and time again. So I'm not on that same page. I understand what you're talking about in Malachi and that passage of Scripture and so forth, but we have to continue to look into the Word of God for further information as well.
Thank you, Gene. And Sharon in Minnesota, you're on the air.
Yes, I have Christ as my Savior.
Amen.
And it upset me when the governor said that everybody in Minnesota has to wear a mask.
Hmm.
And I know the mask is bad for you because you don't get enough oxygen to your brain.
Hmm.
So what I did, I talked to the Lord. And so on my mask, I wrote on there, Jesus is alive.
Hmm.
And I put it on before I go where I'm supposed to wear it,
mm-hmm.
and I take it off when I leave.
So you're being a testimony as you go.
Yep, yeah. You're witnessing. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thank you, Sharon. We're going to squeeze one last call in from South Dakota. Laura, you're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for your guest. Say, I've got the old King James Version,
mm-hmm.
And it says, well, throughout the whole Bible, like 360-plus times, fear not, fear not,
yeah.
fear not.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep.
But in Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful, now some other translations will say cowardly,
mm-hmm.
In place of fearful, but Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
Yeah.
And in 20...
I did tell you what, Laura, we're down to 30 seconds. I want Gary to have a word in here as well. Thank you for calling in, Dr. Frazier.
Thanks, Laura. That's very true. And, of course, the Bible talks about that they'll be tormented forever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
But having said all that, as we wrap this program up, Jim, I want to just take a moment, if we may, and close this time in prayer for those who are struggling in various reasons, for those who have health reasons, for the
go
mental
ahead, doc. Go ahead, doctor.
Issues, and let's pray. So, mm-hmm. Father, in the name of Jesus, we boldly come to the throne of grace. Thank you for our time together today, for each one who's been a part of this last hour. And Lord, I pray in a special way that they might discover the reality of the living Lord Jesus, who's not only controlling the world, but who desires to live in our lives and give us guidance as we walk by faith and put our trust constantly in Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Dr. Gary Frazier with us today. Thank you, Doctor, for carving out the time to be with us.
Hey, glad to do it, Jim, anytime.
And friends, keep in mind, if we can help you even with these books and more information, call us at 800-729-9829. Thanks for listening to Crosstalk. Let's have faith.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.